It's time for Taylor Talk, the number one Taylor Swift podcast brought to you by the fan site, taylorswift13.org. So welcome back to Taylor Talk, everybody. We hope you had an awesome winter break. This is Adam.
Belle.
Jensita.
And Maya.
And we've got a great episode planned for you today. Quick announcements before we get started. First one being taylortalk.org. We have a website. Awesome.
Yay!
So go check out taylortalk.org if you want to learn more about us as hosts, download the episodes, whatever you want to do. Go check it out. Second announcement, we got a YouTube channel now, which is linked to on taylortalk.org. But in case you want to go there directly, it's just youtube.com/taylortalk13, same as our Twitter account. And finally, before we get started, we know a lot of you were looking forward to hearing Daniel Sadownik as our guest on this episode. Unfortunately, the timing did not quite work out, so we may have him back as a guest in the future, but for right now, we weren't able to do that. So instead, we secured two awesome interviews for this episode for you, so get ready for those, because it's going to be fun. Yes!
Woohoo!
All right, Jensita, if you could give us the calendar, please.
Hello, everybody. I missed you, and I have some exciting things to tell you about. First of all, we have Taylor coming on the Grammys for next month, February 12th. It's going to be on 8, 7 Central on CBS. She is nominated for 3 Grammy Awards this year, for Best Country Solo Performance for Mean, Best Country Song for Mean, and Best Country Album for Speak Now. So good luck, Taylor, with those, and we can't wait to see what happens. I know that Belle is going to be going to the Grammys, possibly, right, Belle?
Yeah, it's not 100% for sure yet, but I'm most likely going to be going.
Well, if you're there, you'll have to let us know how it goes.
I will definitely let you know if I'm there.
Hopefully we'll have some updates for you. We also have The Lorax coming out March 2nd, 2012, and Taylor has been doing some promotions with Zac Efron for that. We have the Australia-New Zealand tour that starts March 2nd and runs through the 18th, and the first one is starting in Perth, Australia. So Australia, if you're listening to us right now, you're so lucky that you get to have Taylor have a blast with this concert series, and please tweet us pictures or videos or anything else you have to say about the concert, and we will include it in our podcast. So, Belle, why don't you take it away with the news?
All right, so we have some awesome news. First of all, we've been telling you guys to vote for the first Taste of Country Awards, and we have managed to get Taylor 4 awards.
Yay!
Yay!
So Taylor won Artist of the Year, awesome. Video of the Year for Mean, extremely awesome. Tour of the Year, incredibly awesome. And Best New Pet for Meredith, which is amazingly adorable.
Aww,
Meredith.
Okay. And she was nominated for some PCAs, People's Choice Awards, and I was actually there. Unfortunately, Taylor was not there, which was sad. But she did win an award. She won the Favorite Female Country Artist. So, yay, Taylor!
Yay!
Party!
Party! Awesome. Okay, we have some really exciting news coming up. BroadwayWorld.com has confirmed that Taylor Swift received an offer for a role in Les Mis, alongside of Russell Crowe, Hugh Jackman, Anne Hathaway, and Helena Bonham Carter. So we are so excited about that. We don't know if she's going to accept the role yet, but she has been offered the role. So
it has been listed on IMDb as her having the role now, though. So
that's true.
I think that still doesn't mean that she accepted it, though.
You're right, but it is one step closer.
It is. So we can keep getting excited about that.
Yay! And for everybody that has been constantly bugging Taylor's brother to get a Twitter, your wish came true. He is now at AustinSwift7. And he had some really funny tweets, but then he deleted them, so I'm not sure what that's about. But the Twitter's there, so you can follow it. And hopefully he'll tweet again. Funny things like that remark about... I'm trying to remember what that tweet was that was really funny.
Oh, you know what? I can tell you what it is. He said, kind of want to work at a bookstore solely so that whenever customers ask where things are, I can just direct them to the self-help section.
Yeah.
That is word for word what he wrote. That was his first tweet ever.
That's pretty funny.
That was actually his second tweet.
Second tweet? I think, what was the first then?
His first tweet was, Twitter asks what's up and something.
Like, I can only say it in the voices of, like, the heroes in a disaster movie or something.
So go follow at AustinSwift7.
Yeah, go follow him and hopefully he'll tweet more. Yeah. So, one more awesome thing. Scott Borchetta is going to be speaking at the Country Music Hall of Fame on January 21st at 1:30 p.m. And he'll be talking about Taylor and his own career and his label and all that stuff. So I'm going to go and cover that event for Taylor Talk. And anybody that's in Nashville, you should all go, because I think it's going to be really interesting.
Taylor has been confirmed. We mentioned this before. Taylor has been confirmed as one of the performers on the Grammys, which is really exciting. We don't know what she's going to sing, obviously, but we're sure it'll be wonderful. And she's performing along with Jason Aldean, Nicki Minaj, Bruno Mars, Foo Fighters, and Kelly Clarkson. And probably some more will be announced as the show gets closer.
Do you think that because all of these people are performing, is that kind of like a hint that they all want a Grammy?
I mean, I don't know if that's how they, I don't think they know the results. I think they kind of just, you know, pick people who, you know, had big songs this year or did well or...
I've always wondered, because it always seems like people who perform always win at least one award. I don't know, if it may be coincidence. I don't know about
the Grammys, though. Like, most award shows, usually, but the Grammys is, like, the most legit.
All right, next up, the song Ours has been certified gold and sold over 500,000 copies of the single, which is very exciting. Yay. Congratulations, Taylor.
Yay.
On that. Another really exciting thing that's coming up is that Taylor is going to be on the cover of the February issue of Vogue magazine. It's her very first time being on the cover, and it looks like there's some pictures circulating on the internet, and it looked like a really cool shoot and a really awesome story. And that should be available everywhere around the end of this month, so look for that. The next thing, a few days ago, on the 12th, the Civil Wars had a concert at the Ryman in Nashville. And Taylor made a surprise appearance to sing Safe and Sound with them. And you can find videos of that on YouTube. There's a few.
That haven't been taken down yet by Lionsgate.
Yeah.
I think there's still a few that are up.
We have one of them on TaylorSwift13.org. Hopefully that one doesn't get taken down, because the first, like, two or three that I had up were taken down. So, we'll see.
And our final news item is that it's still not confirmed, but we believe that there is going to be a Safe and Sound music video, because her dad, Scott, posted on Facebook on January 8th, just back from Safe and Sound video shoot. I think it is by far the best I have ever seen. The scenery and shots are amazing, as is Taylor walking barefoot across fields with rocks in cold weather. What a trooper. But it works. Stay tuned. I cannot wait for this one. And he also posted a picture of the two of them that looks like it was probably at the video shoot. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens with that. But it looks pretty exciting.
I love how Scott always kind of, like, outs the things going on.
Spills the beans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he always spills the beans. I think it's so funny.
It is kind of funny. Do you think, like, after that started circulating around the internet, that Taylor's like, Dad, what are you doing?
Maybe. It's like, Dad, you can't post that stuff on Facebook.
Off the towel. Shh.
It's okay. I love how, like, dads don't realize how public Facebook is.
Yeah.
Do your guys' dads have a Facebook page?
Mine does, yes, actually. But
mine does as well.
Mine does also, but I'm not friends with him on there. Is that bad?
I don't know. I'm friends with mine.
I mean, I guess it depends on what you're posting on Facebook.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. So I just hooked up with this guy in my school. Oh, hi, Dad.
Belle, I don't hook up with guys.
That's good.
Thanks for that information, Adam.
Are you sure? I'm just kidding.
Wow.
We're very mature here on Taylor Talk.
I swear, we're all grown-ups. Some days.
In theory.
Once in a while, we're grown-ups.
So we're here with our first special guest of this episode, Jesse Saperstein. So thank you, Jesse, for joining us.
Thank you, Adam.
So could you just start by telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Well, as you said, my name is Jesse Saperstein. I'm the author of a book called Atypical: Life with Asperger's in 20 and one-third Chapters. And that was published by Penguin Group USA back in April 2010. And these days, I am an anti-bullying activist, and that's how I became a real fan of Taylor Swift. I saw her music video for the song Mean on YouTube, and I recently went skydiving and put it on YouTube, and I dubbed in her music for Mean as the main theme song for the video. That's right, I jumped out of a plane to try to end bullying.
That's awesome. In the video, you use the song Mean. What's the significance of that in your campaign?
The reason I loved the song so much, and like you, I'm such a diehard fan of Taylor Swift, is because that song symbolizes hope. And I wanted to do something very exciting to try to end bullying. And I'm certainly not knocking the videos that portray the deadly consequences of suicide and are serious, but I wanted to relate the topic to something very exciting. And the song Mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I watched the music video, I just saw images of hope, people surpassing their challenges, graduating from college. Plays to the fantasy of laughing at your former tormentors because you're doing so much better, and finally their lives are as miserable as yours once were.
True that. What was your motivation behind creating like the video itself? Like, what made you think about like to relate it to skydiving?
Because that's a good question. I'm trying to figure that out myself. I just wanted to do something that the public would find exciting, and it took a while to relate bullying to skydiving. People would ask me all the time, what does bullying have to do with skydiving? I'd say, I don't know. But over time, a connection evolved. And I think that the connection is that eventually, I hope that all victims of bullying will have that ability to let go and free themselves of that low self-esteem. And I connected it to skydiving because the odds of getting killed in a skydiving accident are about 1 out of 100,000. But you guys, the odds of being bullied or thinking or even succeeding with suicide are much greater than the odds of dying in a skydiving accident. So the connection is that they have nothing in common. Skydiving is much safer than going to school, literally.
So was there something that happened in your life that inspired this video? Something that happened to you personally?
Yes. I am affected by Asperger's syndrome, and that is the mildest and most misunderstood form of autism. So I was always a victim of bullying. But one experience that really sticks with me is that I was a victim of a very severe case of what we now call cyberbullying. And I was tormented for 6 months of my life nonstop. And that experience was so traumatic that I want to keep it within me and help others who are affected by it in the present.
Yeah, you mentioned in your video that 1 out of 5 people, 20% of a group surveyed of 11 to 18-year-olds, admitted to being cyberbullied. So that's a big deal.
That's right. Cyberbullying is definitely on the rise. So what happened to me occurred 12 years ago, and that's really sad. You know, 12 years, I would think that society would get a handle on it, but it's not better. It's actually much worse.
That's true.
You know, in the video, one more thing. In the video, I say, in a society where a child has a much better chance of jumping 14,000 feet off the face of the earth than getting bullied, we're capable of doing better.
That was a surprising statistic. It's sad that that's the way the world is now.
Yeah, it's extremely sad.
But at the same time, we have people like Taylor Swift who are struggling to make it much better.
One of the many reasons we love Taylor.
So could you tell us a little bit about what your book is about and how it relates to the video and sort of your life experiences?
Sure, Maya. My book is a collection of very funny essays that have to do with not just bullying, but the successes and struggles of those who have Asperger's syndrome. And I tried to make it as funny as possible because my goal was to appeal to the mainstream population, people who have never heard of Asperger's or been affected much by bullying. So you can relate to a lot of the topics and kind of laugh at all of my crazy misadventures. For example, there's one chapter called Cat Expletive Deleted Fantasies, and I'll leave it to the imagination what that word was. But it talks about how I was obsessed with cleaning my cat's litter box, and instead of throwing away the contents, I let the contents accumulate over a long period of time. And one time, my family was entertaining guests in the house, and my dad saw the enormous bag, so he really quickly made an attempt to move it out of the way, and the whole thing split open and flooded the garage in front of everybody. And I heard loud screams and stuff like that. So, you know, if you're looking for a book that just talks about bullying and depressing subjects, mine is not it. Well, some of it is depressing, like the cyberbullying chapter, but I think most people will laugh.
I like that approach that you took, kind of a humorous approach to addressing a serious problem.
I try to, you know, Adam, I have this expression, humor is the nectar that we squeeze out of our profound anguish. And I think that's true with many comedians. You think that they're the happiest people alive, but they've had such pathetic, miserable pasts, and that's why they're so successful. Even in the video itself, besides the excitement of skydiving, I make funny mentions to, you know, my dreams. One of my dreams was to say the expression, thank you for letting me drop in on you, and actually mean it literally. And I finally had the chance to do that after I landed. Oh, by the way, the video itself is called Free Falling to End Bullying in 2012. It's on YouTube.
Adam, didn't we also put that on your website?
Yeah, I was going to say that at the end, but that's fine.
I have one more thing to say. I also compared myself to bird poop, you know, that we both, the only people who fall out of the sky are bird poop and morons.
Has anyone else been skydiving, co-hosts?
You know, I haven't, and I want to, but I haven't.
I really
yet.
Want to also, but I have not done that. Yeah.
I'm too scared.
And bungee jumped, but it only lasts like 5 seconds.
Yes, it lasts longer. You free fall for about a minute, and then you, when the parachute opens, it's a lot more than a minute. So you feel like you're falling for a lot longer than you should.
That's awesome.
Was it scary?
The only scary part was before I jumped out of the plane and watching other people in front of me jump out, and you see them jump off the face of the earth and disappear into the clouds, and you think, I actually have to do that in about 3 minutes.
But it obviously ended up being a good experience for you.
Yes, definitely. And you just keep repeating to yourself, 1 out of 100,000 chance of getting killed, and that should be some amount of reassurance.
So, Jesse, what about the other people in your video? Who are they, and what are some of their stories?
Well, I'm really glad you brought that up. My video is not just about me skydiving. I have other people with autism talking about their experiences with bullying and being successful. This is the first video that shows people with autism speaking out against about their experiences in a very eloquent fashion. So, you know, there's a brother and sister who are about 6 or 7 years old. There's a high school student with Asperger's who was affected by bullying. And all of their stories, they remain true to the theme of Mean in that beautiful music video, that they were tormented, but at the same time, they overcame a lot of their torment. And they're watching somebody like me jump off the face of the earth and understand that they have that power too, to become successful and overcome that pain. And I'll be honest, even though I'm haunted by bullying, at this stage of my life, it's more common for people to ask for an autograph than accuse me of being a psychopath. And I think that those realities can come into a place for others who are being bullied.
That's a very good point.
So for those who want to read your book, where is it available?
My book is available at any Barnes & Noble store or Amazon.com, of course. And it's even translated into Dutch from what I've heard. So, and Kindle too, but I prefer if you did not buy it on Kindle because I won't be able to sign it for you. And that would really make me sad.
So how can people get a signed copy from you then?
They can contact me through my website or just email me at sci-fi. Well, maybe you can put my contact information on the website, but my email is sci-fi, that's S-C-I-F-Y 1903 at AOL.com.
All right. Before we wrap it up, are there any other resources you could share with our listeners in case they want to learn more about the anti-bullying cause?
Yes, of course. There's the It's Gets Better project, as well as a site for people with autism called GRASP. It's GRASP.org. And there's also many websites out there like wrongplanet.net. And the other thing I'd like to say is the best way you can help us is circulating the video to as many people as you can find, not just to spread my messages of mercy and tolerance, but share this beautiful song by Taylor Swift. That's how I became a fan. I saw this music video and I heard the song and I fell in love with what she does. And before we conclude, I want to mention that Taylor Swift has been a lifelong victim of bullying herself. And that's really important for your listeners to understand. I only hope that eventually others will be able to show their talents like Taylor Swift and I have over the years. You know, didn't people call her loser and said she was a terrible singer?
Definitely. Yeah, people still said that, say that about her.
They still do.
Yeah, no matter who you are, you're going to have critics.
Exactly. And the message that I'd like to share with the listeners is that until you become as famous as Taylor Swift and have millions of people who do like you, it's important to have the strength to look at yourselves in the mirror once in a while and give to yourself what does not always come from somebody else. And that's really important. No matter who you are, whether you are Taylor Swift with your millions of fans or just somebody starting out in high school, no matter what you do or what you accomplish, there will always be people who will choose to hate you for absolutely no reason at all.
That is true.
That is very true.
So, guys, if you want to watch Jesse's video, or you forgot his email address, just visit taylortalk.org. It's all going to be up on there. Thank you, Jesse, for joining us. Really, your video is extremely inspirational.
Well, thank you, Adam, and good luck to you. Thank you for your support. I have something else. I want to say that Taylor Swift is the most beautiful woman in the entire world.
I think Adam would agree with you about that.
Definitely.
Adam agrees wholeheartedly. All right. Thanks, Jesse.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
So we have this awesome mini segment coming up for you, which is If Swifties Rule the World and You Know You're a Swiftie When.
All right. Our first If Swifties Rule the World is from a regular contributor at Sneffy Lynn.
Hi, Steph.
Who said, if Swifties ruled the world, school would be taught like this. Grant, history. Eunice, drama. Papa Swift, business. Mama Swift would be a guidance counselor. Caitlin, Jim, Liz, choir. Taylor, music/poetry. Duh. And apparently her brain went flat for the rest with a sad face. But those are pretty funny ones, so nice work.
I definitely think Mama would be a good guidance counselor.
I think so, too.
Okay, so the second one is from 13 Forever Always. And if Swifties ruled the world, there would be 13 months in a year. See, I mean, but here's the thing. I think that there should be 13 months during leap year, which is this year.
What, have like a month with just one day in it?
Yeah. I mean, why not throw that extra day into another month instead of like corrupting the regular months with that extra day?
Well, I think it's because February is slacking to begin with. So they need that extra day.
But February can just continue to be the shrimp always. I don't think they should just throw February an extra day just because it's the shrimp.
Oh, wow, wow. All right, let's keep going.
The next one is submitted by Sally Swifty, 13, who said, you know you're a Swifty when your mom buys you cat pajamas.
It's true.
Totally true.
Do you guys have cat pajamas?
I actually do have a pair of kitty pajamas.
Yes. I do. I think I have cat pajamas and cat socks.
Oh my gosh, yeah. That doesn't surprise me with either of you.
Okay. All right. Anyways, the next one is from at Miss Samantha G, and she said, if Swifties ruled the world, all the bad boys would have J names so they would be easily recognizable.
I love that. Let's just keep it simple.
Joe, right? John, Jake, they're terrible.
Just make everything so much easier.
I mean, and it's the same letter as jerk, so.
It's perfect.
Wow. That's a good observation, Belle.
Thank you.
Miss Samantha G had a back-to-back. She also submitted, You know you're a Swiftie when, every time you hear the name Meredith, you think of Taylor's cat.
That's true, I do.
Definitely true.
I do.
Yes, for sure.
All right, the Swift Factor said, you know you're a Swiftie when you have a me for your we. Oh, Taylor.
All right. Thanks for submitting those, guys. Don't forget, if you want to contribute to the mini segments, you can either email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org, or tweet us at taylortalk13. So, the time has finally arrived. We got our special guest here for you. But first, we are going to give a shout out to the person who guessed it during our little guessing game before recording. At JerseySwifty13. You guessed it right. We have Declan Whitebloom with us, the director of both the Hours and Mean Music videos. And I also want to give a quick shout out to at Alexis Roday for guessing the guy with the banana, because that was just an awesome guess. And kind of close, too. So, hi, Declan. How are you?
I'm great. Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me on.
Thanks for coming.
We are so excited to have you here.
Oh, that's so nice. It's great to talk to some real Taylor fans, and I know she's got a lot of you out there. So it's great to be part of that family.
We also love your accent.
We do, actually. I completely agree with her.
Oh, really? Oh, dear. I'm actually from Oklahoma. I'm putting it on.
Oh. It's just to help your career.
Yeah, this is it. I've decided it would be better for my career to be English.
I see.
No, I'm making that up. But yes, it is. It's great to be here.
So I guess one thing we're kind of wondering is, how did you get into directing in the first place, and how do you end up becoming a director for Taylor Swift's music videos?
I started in the business editing music videos. I've edited a lot of videos for lots of different people, from Shania Twain to Britney Spears to Metallica. And then at one point, I used to edit a lot of stuff for Disney, and they had a lot of artists like the Jonas Brothers and people like that. They used to say to me, if we have, like, we're releasing a film and we're going to have a song on it, and what can we shoot to make a video? And I said, well, if you shoot this and it can work with the film and those two things can cut together, then you will have a video that makes sense and promotes the film. And so then they said, well, why don't you do it? So that's how I ended up starting out doing a lot of videos for Disney, and I've done four for the Jonas Brothers, directing this is now, and some for Mitchell Musso and Colby Calais, and a lot of these things that were tied into Disney films or Disney songs. And so that's how I got into it initially.
You know what, real quick, Declan? My sister was in one of the Jonas Brothers music videos as an extra.
Which one was she in?
I don't even remember. It was the one where it was like, an old style type video, and they wore like these old dresses. She was a swing dancer, which is why she got into it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't do that one. but that's okay. That's cool. Okay. I like that video a lot. I wrote an idea for that, but I didn't get it, unfortunately. Thanks for rubbing that in.
Gosh, Ancita, you're so mean.
Jeez.
No, that's okay.
I don't even
that's
like okay. talking about the Jonas Brothers, but I just thought it would be cool if he was the director.
Yeah, that would have been a great coincidence there. And then how did I get to work with Taylor? Well, I'd been working on, I did a video for Sugarland that was a kind of comedy, funny video that she really liked. And then it was interesting. Taylor was looking for something different with the Mean video. And so I got a phone call from my production company, because how it works is you'll have the production company, the record label, Big Machine, will call a production company and they say, have you got any directors? Because they represent lots of different directors. Have you got any directors that would like to write an idea for a Taylor Swift song? And I said, yes, of course. And I got sent the track and I really liked it. I thought it was really original and really different. And I've always had a bit of a soft spot for country. And so they sent me the track and I came up with an idea and I sent an idea. And then one day I get this phone call and the voice on the phone says, hi, it's Taylor. And I said, Taylor who? And she says, Taylor Swift. And I'm like, oh, hello, Taylor Swift.
That's not fair. I want that phone call.
Yeah, well, you never know. One day, maybe. And she said,
"I would love that phone call."
She said, "I liked your idea, but I have my own thoughts on the video. And so she took some of the idea that I had and included her own sort of, she had a very clear idea of what she wanted to do. And my kind of idea and her idea were somewhat similar, but she then, you know, took it to her own special place. And it was, and then that's what the video came out of.
Well, we love the video.
Yeah,
we
I was going to say, speaking of the Mean video, actually, we had a guest on earlier today named Jesse Saperstein, and he created an anti-bullying campaign video on YouTube using the song Mean. And when we were talking to him earlier, he actually cited his inspiration as being the video.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, that's an honor. I'm glad. It's one of those great sort of circumstances where, you know, it actually means something. It's when a video can actually do some good and actually resonate with people. I've read a lot of comments on YouTube and other places that it helped people through tough times. And I think that's just wonderful.
Yeah, it was really cool to hear that the video inspired that campaign, because then we're like, oh, Declan's coming on later. Excellent.
We had one question about the Mean video. How's the goat doing?
The Matilda, the goat.
The goat was very interesting because the goat, I'll just answer the question. I was going to go on about something else, but the goat was a great addition. The goat, because she came with two handlers, the goat, and then decided to go to the bathroom right on the stage as
oh,
we
no.
were filming.
Oh, no.
And that was a little embarrassing. But Taylor kind of laughed it off, and it was pretty funny. And in fact, she said that, because that wasn't Taylor's idea, the goat. Taylor has these ideas, and then I fill in the details of how it should actually, how it's going to be. So I had the idea of the goat, which she loved. And so she said afterwards, the goat was, she's now got a cardboard goat on stage for her live show for the Mean.
Yeah, she did.
So that was nice. So I've had a little impact on the stage show too.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, they really liked the goat. For some unknown reason, it was like the perfect icing on the cake of the video.
Yeah, I know, it's a nice touch. I was looking in the edit, because I edited the video myself. I was looking for better shots of the goat, but it's hard. That's a black goat in a dark environment, so it's hard to make out the goat sometimes.
Well, we all saw and loved the goat.
Good.
We love the goat. Perfect
terrific.
Idea.
Fantastic.
How long do these videos actually take from, like, beginning to end?
To create.
It can be very quickly. It can happen all very quickly, but it can also be quite a drawn out process. I think this one was because it was quite a big job. There was a lot to do. We shot 2 days, and the bigger the job, or the more involved the concept, the longer it takes to do. Because we had to build all those sets for Mean. We had to build them beforehand. So I had an art director, or a production designer, who used to do shows for Broadway in New York. And so she came on and she made all of those great sets. And it takes time to make that. So I think that one was about a month in the preparation and the shooting. And then it takes another couple of weeks to edit it. I'll do an edit, and then I'll send I'll email the cut to Taylor. She'll look at it and say she likes this, she doesn't like this. But luckily on that video, interestingly, she made one change in the whole edit to what I sent to her, which is very surprising. Usually when you do videos for people, they have lots of things to say. We don't like this shot, we don't like that shot, but she only changed one thing, and that was she made me put in the very first shot where the curtains open on the stage, and you can see the whole wide stage, and that was the shot she made me put in.
Well, you and Taylor seem to be really on the same wavelength as far as creativity with these videos.
Yeah, we're very lucky, and it doesn't happen all the time. And in fact, it's quite rare when you do a video for somebody that you have this connection. But as the director, it's very important to try and have that connection with an artist, so they trust you and they believe in you, and that you're going to do the best work for them, and then you get the best out of them. Now, Taylor, she doesn't need any directing as for her performance, because she can obviously, she does it every night on tour, and she's got great instincts. And in that video, there wasn't really any acting for her to do. So that was very, I was just directing the actual actors who played the scenes rather than her. But in the Hours video, There was quite a lot of acting, so we had more involvement. But I think that's because Taylor and I do have a very good relationship in that way. And we get on and have very similar sensibilities. And therefore, you know, we've just gelled, and I hope we'll continue to do so in the future.
So speaking of her performances on stage, have you been to any of the Speak Now World Tour shows?
I haven't. I'm really disappointed that I didn't get to go.
Now you have to fly to Australia.
Yeah. Well, what I'm hoping that they'll want to do some show, which I know they've done a concert video, but I was thinking, wouldn't it be good to go and film her behind the scenes and do a whole great thing on her traveling around Australia, make it more than just a concert.
That would be really cool.
Film.
That'd be awesome.
I'd love to do that, and I'm going to suggest that to her management that we do that. That's a good way of going and seeing the show.
Yeah, then you get to see every show.
Then I get to see every show and go to Australia, which can't be a bad thing.
Right. I had a quick question for you, Declan. Has an artist ever come to you and wanted to, like, maybe work with you, but you haven't wanted to necessarily work with them?
I won't name any names, but yeah, sometimes.
But it's happened.
Sometimes you get a song that you don't like, mm-hmm. and it's very hard to make a video for something that you don't like. If you don't like the song or can't find something about the video that really interests you or inspires you, then you shouldn't do the job. And so I've on a couple of occasions, I've had to walk away from things. But on the whole, I'm very open musically and creatively and can always find some good in something. And if it's not necessarily the song, and I can pitch them an idea which I really want to do as a kind of filmmaker, then I'll do that. So generally, I don't like I'm always open to whatever it might be and don't really like turning stuff down because I work job to job and you never know where your last job would be.
So it allows a lot more creativity than measuring the ads in the newspaper.
Exactly. Ah, you picked up on that. Yeah. No, it does. I am thankful every day I get to be on set. And I watch some of those behind the scenes of the Hours video. And I look like I've had about too many coffees or Red Bulls. I'm running around like a madman. And that's the way I feel about it. I am super excited every single day to be on a shoot. I think it's the best job in the world and I love doing it. And then when you work with Taylor, who is someone who's so creative and so fun and so inspirational, it just makes it all the better.
So do you mind if we ask you a couple of questions about the Hours video?
As Please. Long as
we're on that topic?
Yeah, go for it.
Does anyone have any specific questions?
Well, I do. Was the whole part where, like, all the characters in the webisode video is about the Ours video, when they were all, talking in character about themselves and their lives in character, was that planned or was that just, like, improv?
I don't know, because that was done by theirs, because on every shoot she does, there's always a behind-the-scenes crew. And that was their deal. You know, that's nothing to do with me. But I thought that was a great idea. Of trying to get
so
them
funny.
To be, I loved the big guy with the red, long red hair. He was
the
very,
ginger
the ginger ninja.
Yeah, he was very funny, and I thought that was great. And they tried to get me to be like Stephen Carell in The Office, but I couldn't think of anything funny to say, so I didn't. I don't think that really happened. But that was a lot of fun. That behind the scenes, I think that was a very smart idea as well to release those webisodes every day for however 10, 11, 12 days, however it was, however long it was.
13.
Was it 13?
And Taylor's number.
Of course it was. I thought that was very a good way to get people fired up about the video, and it seems to have worked. People love that video. I love that video.
Yeah, we all love it.
Yeah, when you were actually casting those people, were those roles and those positions within the fake company that you made up, were those preconceived? Like, were you like, all right, we need somebody to play the boss's kid. We need someone to play the nerd. We need someone to play the gossips.
Yes, that is exactly what we did. I sent those roles out. I was in Nashville, and I told a casting director I wrote up a list, a sheet of the characters I wanted to play, and I said what ages they should be, what ethnicity, what would they look like, and I make up this whole thing, and then all the people from Nashville and surrounding areas, any actors or people who wanted to be in the video, sent in or went to a place and got on camera, and then they sent me a long list of a couple of hundred people who they have videotape of, and I picked them from that. And that's how they got to be on the video. So I didn't meet any of them in person, but I just picked them. And one of the things I said when looking for this for people, for when I sent out the casting brief, it's called, was I want to find the oddest looking people I can in the Nashville area. And I think we found them.
I think so.
How do you think they all feel about being called the oddest looking people?
I think they got the job, and I think they'd be very happy to be in the video. I think it was. I wasn't meaning that or saying that in a nasty sort of way. It was always a very tongue-in-cheek kind of sense. But I think it's kind of, when I cast this one, I didn't want it to feel like everyone's really great looking, or really, it just should feel like a real office. And sometimes in a video, because there's no one acting, no one's saying any dialogue, you have to make things more exaggerated. So your quirky office guy has to be really quirky, because he's not saying anything. He's just got to look quirky and do it in a very short period of time, because you're only going to have them on the screen for a few seconds. So like the guy at the water cooler.
He was amazing.
You have to get somebody who's going to play that role who people will look at and think, that's weird. You know, if he looked too normal, then it wouldn't work. So that's why, for instance, I found the man with who was in the elevator who I gave a banana to.
So yes! You're the one that decided, yes! On the banana.
I picked that, and that was a very last minute thing. I was looking at the guy, and I thought, what would be really weird for that guy to be doing? And I was standing by the what they call the craft service table, which is, mm-hmm, where they have like snacks and stuff. And I saw a banana there, and I just thought, banana. That's a strange thing to do. So I just gave him the banana, and I said, "You'd love that banana. That's like your everything. Your world is encompassed in that banana." And so. And he did, and he did a great job of doing it. I thought,
he was hilarious.
Yeah, Taylor didn't know, she didn't know that he was holding a banana. And then we did the first.
That makes it even better.
We did the first take, and she went in the elevator, and she goes, "That man's holding a banana." I said, "Yeah, isn't it funny?" And she goes, "It's awesome." And so I like to kind of give her little surprises every now and again to get a good reaction out of her. Because that scene, the elevator scene, was hilarious to shoot. We were cracking up. It was so funny.
So who is the banana guy? What's his name?
I'll have to get back to you on that, because I can't remember off the top of my head. He was a real sweetheart, though. All of the actors who came out were completely great. I loved them all. They all did a great job. Everyone from the two gossip ladies in the cafe. The lady with the glasses, who was a gossip in a kind of stripy dress.
Right, short hair, right?
Short hair, glasses. Yeah. She came, because before the shoot, we have to see what they're going to wear. We pick out what they're going to wear. And so we have what they call a wardrobe fitting. And in the wardrobe fitting, she came in this dress. And we tried all these different clothes on. And I said, "I like the dress that you're wearing." So she actually wore the dress that she came to the wardrobe fitting in. So it's funny how things happen like that. And the kid with the red hair who's playing the boss's son, he just looked like someone, some like stuck up kind of kid, you know, who's like kind of very full of himself. And a lot of these people, once I picked my favourites, I then send them to Taylor, and she says, who she likes. And she, because we're kind of on the same page, she liked everybody. I don't think there was anybody that she didn't like. And the janitor, we all loved. He was just such a sweetheart from the get-go.
He seemed really nice. Just from the video, he seemed nice.
Yeah, that's really who he is. He's always smiling, lovely, lovely man. And the same with the security guy. He was very funny. And that was something else that I surprised Taylor with. I told the security guy, I think his name's Ian Rush, I think the security guy. I told him to just stand there and not move. It's like the guy in the elevator. It's like the place is so boring. He's just got his hands in his head and he just stays there all day long and never moves, never checks anybody's passes, never does his job. He's just there, bored out of his mind. And that's actually, we found the location. It's called the Tennessee Towers. And it's in downtown Nashville, and it's a government building. And they were very kind, and they let us shoot on one of their floors that was semi-empty. There were some people just around the corner who were actually doing their real job while we were shooting in part of their office. So that was kind of, we're trying to keep quiet and not annoy them too much.
So I think the last thing I'm wondering with the extras is, how can we get the banana guy on Taylor Talk for an interview?
I don't know. I can probably find his name and number, and you can reach out to him and see if he wants it. I'm sure he'd love to do it, as long as he's holding a banana the whole time. And during, even though you can't see him, you want him to guarantee that he is holding a banana.
That would be an interesting phone call for you. Hey, banana guy, this is Declan, the director. Can you do an interview on a podcast?
I'll see what I can do. I'll see if I can arrange that. That's his 15 minutes of fame. I'm sure he'll love to do it.
That'd be awesome.
I have a question. What was there an actual job for Taylor and her associates?
There wasn't. That's a good question. I could have actually found some motivation for them to be working. No, I didn't. Maybe I should have. Next time I'll give her an actual job. I because the place, the building was so sort of, it really had that kind of very depressing, very mundane thing. It's almost like you didn't need a job. You just kind of knew the place. And for Taylor, I assume that she's never worked in a place like that. She got right into character instantly, and she knew what she had to do. She's a fabulous actress, by the way.
So because you're one of the few people that have worked with her on acting, have you heard about this potential casting of Taylor in Les Mis?
I have, and I think she'd be brilliant. I know for a fact that Taylor will be a movie star. She's got amazing timing, and she just knows what to do, and I'm sure that she's going to be a hit with that in Les Mis. I couldn't wish her more love and good wishes for that. She'll be brilliant. She'll blow us away one day with her acting skills.
She's already blown us away.
Oh, but you're
for,
I mean,
sure.
The general public, they're all going to see a side of her, an acting side, I think, coming up, which it's going to be incredible.
Awesome. So what about Zach? What's his story?
Zach's a very nice chap. Because Taylor specifically wanted to use him. And I'd never seen his show on TV. And I was like, well, he must be great. So, we called his agent in LA, and he was shooting something, but he was prepared to fly in and do this. And he actually lives about 2 minutes from me in Los Angeles. I keep on expecting bumping in. Bumping to him in the supermarket, but I haven't yet. He was a very nice guy, and Taylor and he responded, got on very well together. And she said to me that it could be her most favourite co-star to have worked with a guy on the day, because they had great chemistry. And when we just gave them the camera and let them go and shoot scenes themselves, It was just so natural and easy that I think he was a fantastic choice.
So, you want to be a pal and cast me as the next male lead?
Adam, you got a great voice.
How did
voice.
I know that was coming?
You got a great voice. I don't know. You'll have to send me your photo, and we'll see. Well, I'll put it in front of her. Let's say that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a very tempting offer.
You just made Adam's day.
You just
put
his
a big smile
life.
On my face.
Well, good. I'm anything to please.
So are there actually any future videos being planned right now?
Well, I know she shot one for The Hunger Games, which I didn't get to do, unfortunately. But I think that might be it for videos from the Speak Now album, unless they change their minds and they want to do one more Because but it was before they decided on hours, they were saying, well, maybe we'll do one for, is it Superman? Is that the name
Superman?
Of the song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be a great one.
That was something that they were talking about doing, but then they changed their mind and decided they wanted to do ours instead. But as of right now, I've heard nothing about any more videos. But things change, and maybe if you, everybody, all the fans could go, we want more. Maybe they'll make more. I don't know.
Yeah, I love the fact that, like, ours was made because the fans loved it so much.
Yeah, I think it was a good choice. I think I'm really happy with the way that video turned out. It's completely different from Mean and more sort of grown up from some of her previous work, which I think all her videos have been really good. But I like the way she's going now, which is in a more mature way because, you know, she is in her 20s now and needs to, you know, needs to do that, and I think she knows that and is following that right along. So I think she's very smart.
I think we definitely agree with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So what were some of the funniest things that happened on set of ours or Mean? Either one.
I'll tell you the most embarrassing thing that happened on set to me for hours. When we were shooting at the house, I split my jeans. And they had a big split in the front of them, and it's right in the middle of a shot. I guess they were a little too tight, and I tried to jump on something, and they split, and that was very embarrassing. I had to wear a shirt. I had to wear my shirt around my face. It looked like I was wearing a kilt. and that was very embarrassing. And so someone was sent out to get some new trousers for me, some new jeans for me, and they went to, like, Target or somewhere. And bought me these massive jeans that looked ridiculous. So I had to wear these ridiculous jeans for the rest of the day. And I pointed out to Taylor that I'd split my jeans. She didn't think it was that funny for some reason. I think because of where the split was that she didn't want to know. But anyway, that was very embarrassing. For me personally, I'm just trying to think funny things that were happening. It's all with ours because it was kind of, there was a lot of comedy in ours in the first, you know, part of the video where she's working in the office. It was all really funny. There was the stuff in the elevator was hysterical. The stuff with the water cooler guy was very funny. And I really like the bit with the photocopier where it's just not there anymore.
We thought
that was the funniest thing.
That cracked me up for some reason, and it did Taylor. The cameraman who, it's the same cameraman who's a dear friend of mine, he shot Mean, and he shot some stuff on the Sparks Fly video as well. He just didn't get that. He was like, why is that funny? I'm like, it's funny, believe me, don't worry, it's funny.
It definitely was funny.
Yeah, and the good thing is because Taylor wasn't well on that day. That was the second day of the shoot. She'd been touring a long time and she got sick. And it's hard, you know, when you're working for 14 hours straight and people are prodding you, poking you, asking you to do stuff. And she was a real trooper. And you know, that was a little tricky. I thought we might lose her for a minute, but she bounced back after a little rest and she was great. So on that video, there was lots and lots of funny stuff. On the Mean video, the goat was probably the highlight of the shoot for everyone. Everyone seemed to think that was very funny. And I tell you, the two guys who were by the train, who were like dressed in 1920s kind of gear, the villains, they were very, very funny, those two guys. And that cracked me up. I'm just trying to think of other funny things that happened. It's all funny. It's maybe that's just me. I'm just like slightly weird or something. Because I think it's all funny. Go ahead.
What about the situation on Mean, I guess, where Taylor saw the shiny instruments and they had to get old beat up instruments instead?
Oh yeah, that was funny because I didn't even really know that was going on until later. Whereas, because there's so much going on, so much for me to think about and do, I'm looking at lighting, I'm looking at camera stuff. There's so many details when you're directing a video. You have to have an eye on everything. And she picked up on the fact that these instruments look too new. And she was right. And so we had a mad scramble to go out. It was, but it was downtown LA and there was some music store that was open and we bought an old guitar and messed it up and then she was happy. But it, you know, it was one of many, many things going on. And interestingly, on that video, she was only needed on the first day of shooting, which was her big performance day. And then we did all the story stuff on the second day. But she came down and sat with us for the whole day, just looking at the monitor to see that it was, you know, what she wanted and what how she wanted it. And so that was really good to have her there all the time. I just sat next to her all day and we were just, you know, put our heads together and decide what was the best route to take. So it was terrific. She's a great collaborator.
Oh, I think one thing we wanted to know about is about the shooting in the airport and how you got the terminal.
Yeah, how do you shut down an airport?
Well, we were very lucky because Nashville, in the middle of the day, Nashville isn't, the airport there isn't really that busy. And so we worked with security. We had to go and meet all the TSA people. We had a lot of meetings to establish where we could shoot, what we could do. And they were incredibly accommodating because the busiest times at any airport are 9 in the morning or before, you know, sort of up till 9 or 10 in the morning and then in the afternoon. But the rest of the time it was quite quiet. And so they let us shoot in the middle of the day. I think about noon we were shooting. And they helped us enormously to keep any crowd that were, had gathered in the background. And they were just amazing. I didn't think we were ever going to be able to shoot there, but they made it happen. They were great.
And what about like the, how did you just get a city bus, like an actual real bus? Was it like the same thing?
They've got hundreds of them. I guess we just rented it. But we wanted to be as authentic as possible. So we wanted to get a real bus. And someone called the Nashville Transit Authority, and they said, sure, we'll rent you one, and we have a driver, because you have to use one of their drivers, and we had a driver come, a nice lady came and did a great job, and it's very hard to shoot on a bus driving around regular streets, because, as you know, if you drive a car, you're touching the brakes all the time, and if you do that, then the camera moves back and forward, because he's just standing up holding the camera, and so you have to drive very, very slowly, and try and not hit the brakes too often. Otherwise, you'll make everything shake. So she did a great job with that.
Awesome. Yeah, I imagine that would be hard to shoot out a moving vehicle.
Yeah, well, that's really hard. And you, if you don't move the bus, it looks like it's not moving and doesn't look real. So, yeah, it's a very fine line you have to walk.
Yeah, Declan, how many people does it actually take to create the video?
A lot more than you would think. I think probably on the hours video, there was probably, including the actors, probably 100 people.
Oh, wow. Well, that's crazy.
I think, I think we had about 60 or 50 actors over 2 days, because you have to have all the people wandering around at the airport to make the airport look busy. And then you have the office people. So I think there's about 50 or 60 people. And then there's easily 50, 60 crew members, because you have, it's so involved to get, just talking about the wardrobe, there's so many people who work in the wardrobe department because you have to dress 50 or 60 extras. So you need, you know, a team of people who are going to get those people ready. And so there's probably 5 or 6 people right there. And then you have the lighting department, you have the camera department, you have the makeup and hair. And, you know, it's just, you wouldn't think it, but it's quite a big production.
Oh, that's a lot of people. I mean, I would imagine wardrobe for that many would be crazy.
Yeah, it was. It was. A lot of the time you ask them to bring a suitcase full of clothes and we pick from what they have themselves. But we have to augment that with various bits and bits, like the glasses. Like we wanted the two guys, the kind of nerdy guys who are sitting behind Taylor, to wear glasses. And someone has to go and get those glasses. And we have to try on those glasses. And they have to bring options. So it's all, you know, every little detail that you see in a video has been thought out and put there, and someone is responsible for doing it.
So the people that actually do that, are they the same people that work with Taylor? I believe it was the three in the webisodes. They had Lori Turk, Gemma, I can't remember her last name, and then the gentleman, Or do they work with all the characters or just Taylor?
They just do Taylor. They are her specific stylist, makeup and hair people. And they work on everything she does on the tour. Joseph, his name is.
Joseph Cassell, right?
Yeah, he's a very talented guy. And they are, they just do her, and that's her glam squad. And every artist has one. Every artist has, well, I guess the bigger artists, they have their own people that they work with all the whole time.
I thought it was hilarious when they were talking in the behind the scenes webisode about how difficult it was to try and make Taylor look plain.
It was, and I went for the fitting to pick Taylor's wardrobe at her place in Nashville. And there's racks and racks of clothes up there, and there's me, and there's Joseph, and Taylor comes out in a bathrobe, and Joseph just hands her this brown, dreary office outfit, and she goes, I love it. And then it was the shortest kind of fitting we ever did. You know, usually when you have an artist and you're trying on lots of different wardrobe, it could take hours, take a day to pick the clothes for the wardrobe. We were there about 20 minutes. And she just, you know, found this, and we got hers. I said, wouldn't it be great if she had some sneakers, some awful sneakers that she can arrive in? And they, yeah,
those
they
went were a really nice those. Touch.
Yeah, that
yeah,
was
we
funny.
Liked that. And she was like carrying the other shoes.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, it was yeah, working with those guys. They're really a nice bunch of people, and they did a great job.
Yeah, we liked her hairdo as well.
Yeah, the hair, that was, and then that was the first time she was seen with bangs, I think, wasn't it? And now she's
well,
got
yeah,
the
like,
whole
so. Before the video came out, she posted a picture on her Twitter of herself and her cat, and she had that hairdo, and we didn't know, like, what was going on or what it was from at first, so we were all like, what's going on with Taylor's hair? Like,
yeah, no, that was good, and it was, I think, talking of the cat, Meredith, I think the cat's called, mm-hmm. I went round. I was playing with the cat at her apartment, and I was going, we've got to get the cat in the video. And so
yeah,
we did.
We loved seeing the cat in the video.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
cute.
The cat in the home movies, and also on her screen on as a
yes.
screensaver.
Yeah,
yeah,
on the screensaver.
And even the stickers around the screen were all cats. So there's all these little hidden little details that I like to put in there to keep. The fans kind of like going, oh God, there's something else. So,
we noticed that.
Good.
We actually discussed that in one of our earlier podcasts about the little things.
Yeah, I try my best to put them in as much as possible. It's like the floor. Like Taylor didn't know what floor she was going to get on, was going to get it
so
off
it was
at.
The 13th.
Yeah, so that was me sort of going, well, this is a significant number to her. And it's also, in some places, unlucky, and therefore you go to an unlucky office. So it has a double meaning, that one. But yeah, so I like to do that just to keep people interested.
And whose tape dispenser was that? The shoe, the pink shoe.
The pink shoe was a nice touch. That was the lady who was the art director on the piece. Oh. She came up with the pink shoe, which I thought was terrific. And the lunchbox, the little colorful lunchbox.
Uh-huh. We noticed how that was like the only, like Taylor's desk was the only colorful thing really in that office. Everything else was just kind of bland. And
that's the way we wanted it to happen, because she's the one little ray of sunshine in that place.
And in our lives.
Aww. Aww.
That is very sweet. That is very sweet.
What would you do if you were not a director?
Well, I qualified to be a teacher when I was a high school teacher in England before I moved to America. And maybe I'd be doing that. Maybe I'd be teaching geography in high school. I hope not. But you never know. I've done every job known to man. I've been a trash collector. I've been a street sweeper. I've worked in the cinema. I've done everything. So I'm multi-talented. But directing is the best job ever. And I couldn't recommend it more to anybody.
What is the favorite Halloween costume you've ever worn?
I have one costume that I wear repeatedly, which is actually from a music video. It was a hip hop dancer, me and all my friends, and it's a shiny tracksuit from a Puff Daddy video where all the backup dancers had shiny tracksuits, shiny sweatsuits, and me and all my friends go with a white Kangol hat and shiny tracksuits, and we used to go out and wear those on Halloween things. It's with lots of like kind of big gold chains and stuff. So that's kind of fun.
That's awesome.
I'm not going to show you a photo of that though.
So I guess maybe one more.
Go for it.
What is your guilty pleasure music? What do you what are you embarrassed to rock out to in your car?
Oh,
have
dear.
To roll up the windows.
Have to roll up the windows. Oh dear, now that's a good question. Probably, I'll tell you what, right now, which I'm embarrassed to is listening in the car, is that, oh gosh, now I'm going to forget what it's called. It's those two guys, and my oldest son, he loves this song. It's Party Rock Anthem, LMFAO. And they love it. My kids love that song. And they all shout at the top of their voices, so I have to roll up the window. So in a way, that's a kind of guilty pleasure, but it's great fun too.
So you got to roll up the windows, be like, I don't know them, they're just in my backseat.
But if they called me to do a video for them, I'd do that too. See, I'm completely shameless.
Fair enough. Did you have any questions for us?
Do I have questions for you? Well, that's a good question in itself. Not really. I just want to say, keep up the good work. It's been a pleasure talking to you. And,
thank you.
It's been an incredible pleasure talking to you.
I'm really thrilled to be part of Taylor's world, and I hope to be in that position for a long, long time to come.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. We really, 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 really appreciate it.
Wow. That's a lot of reallys. It was
that
my
was
pleasure.
That was a lot of reallys, Adam.
That virtual was, hand hearts.
Yeah, that's an inside joke on our show, because, you know, Taylor has her signature hand heart.
Right, yeah.
That she does. So we do virtual hand hearts, since we're an online show.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm doing one too. There you go.
So
awesome.
Bye.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much.
It was so nice to have you on. Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
For our listeners, real quick, if you want to learn more about some of Declan's other work, check out his website, declanwhitebloom.com, and go follow him on Twitter. Your Twitter's at dwhitebloom, right?
That's right. And you can also see more of my work at rsafilms.com. There's some newer stuff there. My website is not as up-to-date as that one. So, and there's also lots of other good directors there who you can enjoy their work too. So rsafilms.com.
All right. Thanks, Declan.
Thank you so much.
It's been great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
So, what would Taylor do? This week's What Would Taylor Do came from epic_Swifty, who said, what would Taylor do if she were a mermaid?
She would find a sea urchin.
Find a sea urchin?
To give her legs.
Oh, I see.
Okay. I thought Ursula was an octopus.
No, she's a sea urchin.
Oh. Okay.
Really? I never knew that.
I thought she was a sea urchin.
I thought she was an octopus. I think it goes without saying, however, that she would perform some amazing duets with Sebastian.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Under the sea.
So I guess this question is becoming more, what would Taylor do if she were the Little Mermaid, as opposed to just a mermaid in general?
Well, we can make it generalized. Like, do you think she would be one of those, like, mean mermaids, like in Peter Pan, you know? The Peter Pan with Jeremy Sumpter. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't think she would be one of those.
Those were mean mermaids. They tried to drown Wendy.
They were creepy, too.
Yeah, they were.
They were scary.
Taylor's not creepy.
But you know what I do think? If she was a mermaid, instead of having a song called A Place in This World on her first album, she would have had A Part of This World.
Aww. So what about the mermaids in the newest Pirates of the Caribbean movie? Those ones are kind of trippy, huh?
Taylor would be a pretty mermaid. She wouldn't be a scary mermaid.
I think that's probably why we immediately thought of the Little Mermaid, huh?
Yeah, I think so, because that's like she's like a nice, pretty mermaid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Taylor would be, a nice and pretty mermaid.
And she would totally have a Sebastian.
Oh, for sure. She would, yeah.
And a flounder.
Oh my god, wait, no,
here's the question. If Taylor was a mermaid, which one of the people that she knows in her life would be Sebastian, and which one would be Flounder?
Oh, boy.
Okay, Sebastian would be Amos.
Are you sure? I was gonna say Grant.
No, Sebastian is like kind of, you know, he can be like the one who like takes control, and like Amos, you know, he's like, Amos is a fun guy, but he can be serious, very serious too, and he has that humor that just like, you know, that serious humor that most people don't understand because they're too young.
So do you think Amos could speak in a Jamaican accent then?
Oh, he could totally pull that off.
I'm sure he can.
Amos can totally pull
that. I have
that
an
off.
Example of Amos humor that I remember. Ashley, who's one of the co-owners of T-Swift on Tour, met Amos after a concert, and she asked him if he would follow T-Swift on Tour on Twitter. And he was like, well, I would, but He's like, I know everything that you guys tweet.
That's a good point.
We're like, oh.
I can't argue with that.
Oh, yeah. I guess so.
That's logical. That makes sense.
It makes perfect sense. But who would be Flounder?
Who would be Flounder? Flounder's kind of a chicken. You know, he's scared of everything.
Yeah, I was going to say Caitlin, but some sort of combination. Like, I'm thinking of Caitlin when she got her hair cut, you know?
So, do you think Taylor, what if, you know how Ariel had sisters and one of them was blonde? What if that is Taylor?
I'm confused by your question.
In the Little Mermaid, Ariel, she had sisters, and one of them, I believe, had the blonde flowing hair. Like,
but
what if that?
All her sisters were like annoying, though, weren't we?
Yeah, they were mean to her. They were
strange.
They were mean to Ariel
and rude.
So Taylor would be Ariel's friend.
I don't think Taylor would be one of her sisters because they were also mean.
Yeah, they were rude
for sure. So, do we have any last thoughts on what Taylor would do if she were a mermaid?
I think that if Taylor was a mermaid, she would have that perfect happily ever after ending.
On land or in sea?
That's a good question. Probably on land, because, like, Taylor, you know, lived a certain life for the first several years of her life and then completely changed her life and made it better. So isn't that, like, in essence what Ariel did?
Yeah, pretty similar. She'd probably have that same motivation to, you know, go after her dreams.
Exactly.
Getting legs.
I think Ariel had a pretty sweet life under the sea, though.
But she didn't like it. She wouldn't fit in.
Under the
sea. So she made her life different.
Under the sea. Nobody beat us, fry us, and eat us in fricassee.
Naturally eat.
We what the land folks loves to cook. Under the sea, we off the hook.
We off the hook.
We got no trouble. Life is the bubbles under the sea. All right, now that singing session's over.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was our sing-along for this episode.
So, thank you, Epic_Swifty, for that submission. Don't forget, if you guys want to submit a What Would Taylor Do, email us, taylortalk@taylorswift13.org, or tweet us @taylortalk13. And on that note, also go follow us on Twitter. That way you can get updates when episodes are coming out and what's going on with the show. Yeah, go follow us @taylortalk13. Thanks, guys. Thumbs up.
And we play fun guessing games, too.
Yeah. Like the one we did before this episode.
Yes.
So, for Taylor Talk Episode 8, we hope you enjoyed our special guest. Thank you to both Jesse and Declan. For Episode 8, this has been Adam,
Belle,
Jensita,
and Maya.
We are in no way directly affiliated with Taylor Swift.